broadcasting from the shores of El Pacifico, Phil Hendry.
World-famous Phil Hendry Show every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast and 4 a.m. on the East Coast, a news, talk, and entertainment show that knows what it's talking about. And welcome, welcome to the only, the only talk show that could go places other talk shows wish they could. We will lead the way if they'd like, but they generally just want to stay behind us. We're out on point here in the world of talk radio. And you just have to listen to figure out what it is I'm talking about. That's all I can tell you. You can also go to our website, philhendryshow.com, because if you're not visiting, really, any radio show that has it at all together has got a web platform that you can visit and utilize any number of things to get to know our show better. And with us, it's our video cast, which is on right now. It's also our archives, which you can access. It's also our podcasts, which you can access. It's also our webisodes. It's also our rants. It's our news feed. It's our email. It's a lot of things. So philhendryshow.com. And across the country on great affiliates, 150 wonderful affiliates here. And tonight we're going to do our affiliate spotlight before I forget. And in our affiliate spotlight tonight, of course, our great city of New York and our great affiliate there, WWRL. And in Bedford, Pennsylvania, WBFD, Bedford, world-famous Phil Hendry Show. Coming up tonight, you know that there was some trouble in Vancouver, and we're going to have Professor Emery Clayton on to talk about what happened in Vancouver, B.C. last night, British Columbia. That is the home of the Vancouver Canucks hockey team. And they had another, if you want to call it a riot, they had it was a riot, you know. And this is the third time, well, at least the second time that I can think of that they've had disturbances in Vancouver following the loss of a Stanley Cup. The last time was in 94. They lost the Stanley Cup in 81. I don't know whether they had problems there or not. So Professor Emery Clayton is going to be on the show with us. Ted Bell from Ted's of Beverly Hills had an incident in his restaurant either last night or the night before that we're going to talk about, having to do with a restaurant owner, a business owner's right to control the customers and to control what is happening inside an establishment while it is catering to the public. It's still privately owned. How far should you be allowed to go as the owner of a business? And certainly that has been a discussion that we've had in recent days, having to do with all kinds of things, in recent years, having to do with all kinds of things, especially when it comes to, for instance, the rights of gay people. So we'll talk with Ted Bell next hour. And again, our number is 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-7445. We will have our news and information hour in the last hour of the show as well with Bud Dickman and Robert Leonard. We'll have, we'll repeat a little bit of our show business news that we actually gave to our to our Phil TV viewers. It was exclusive the other night, and we have not yet made a public announcement. We have been giving it to our subscribers, but we'll definitely roll out some information for you in the last hour. Joining us from Sylmar, California, is Professor Emery Clayton, who is a professor of urban studies at L.A. Canyon College. We welcome him on the program. Good evening, Professor. How are you?
Very good, Phil. Thank you.
And I didn't quite hear you, sir.
Very good, Phil. I appreciate you having me on the program.
Thank you very much. So last night you were watching along with, and as a professor of urban studies, that has to do not only with the physical environment, I think, of a city, but also the psychological environment of the urban landscape. You watched along with the rest of us as Vancouver had another civil disturbance, and this is not the first time.
It is not the first time. This is the... And you hit the nail on the head, Phil. It's about the second time, I think, that this has happened in the recent history of the city of Vancouver in British Columbia. Now, understand that we're dealing with a different model. We're dealing with a Canadian urban environment, which is slightly different from an American urban environment. It's not much different. But while the United States and Canada grew up together over many decades and centuries as two nations that seem to be pointed in the same direction, there's one fundamental difference. You don't have in Canada the resilience of an economy the way you do here in the United States. And by that I mean Canada is often exploited by larger countries with more people, more money, they are often the last people to take advantage of the wealth that their country has, a very wealthy country. And there should be no reason at all why Canada suffers as it does in some of these recessions, but they do.
And why is that?
Well, I think it's because of the economic exploitation of a country like the United States that cannot wait, in some instances, Phil, to stick its hand right into the Canadian till and pull out what it needs, you see, and leaving the Canadian people to fend for themselves.
All right, well let me ask you this. What does this have to do? I'm sure I know where you're going. Can you connect this to the events last night?
That's exactly what I was doing, connecting it to the events last night. If you would just hold on, I would be happy to connect it to the events last night. But I've got to give you some background, you understand?
All right.
The events last night were a number of youths in the city of Vancouver, British Columbia. These are young people who are enduring the same thing the rest of us are enduring, which is the recession, the worldwide depression, the economic drawing back of investment in business, which means there's an economic drawing back of investment in people. And in Canada, they are suffering this no less than the rest of the countries that we're talking about, United States, Canada, and so forth. The difference is this. In Vancouver, you have young people who have an outlet called hockey. And after they have this outlet, which is a national sport up there, there isn't much left. I look at these young people and what they did last night, and I ask myself, I think they used restraint.
Restraint?
Absolutely, I think they used restraint. Given what they have been faced with, given what they have shoved down their throats day in and day out in that country, given the big brother of America, and understand something, Phil, the United States of America provides the defense of Canada through the North American Allied Command. That is, the United States provides the air defense for both the United States and Canada. So Canada doesn't have to spend a lot of money on its national defense. But as a result, Canada finds itself a lapdog.
And all right, you know, Professor, you're getting a little dramatic here.
No, I'm not getting dramatic.
Well, I mean, Canada's a lapdog, you know.
Canada, the national identity of Canada has been beaten, slowly beaten out of it. There are people, and I heard you say this. I heard you say on your show once, what is the reason for Canada? As if anyone has to give a reason to live.
My point was, you know, Canada seems to be a reaction to America rather than its own place, you know?
Well, I think the reason for that is because the good Canadian people have had their national pride assaulted. They've had their national sense of resilience and strength beaten as if they were a sandbag hanging in a garage. And America comes out every morning and kicks and beats. I don't know if you've ever seen this Ultimate Fighting Championship. Have you ever seen this film?
Yes, I have.
Well, imagine if you had one of these Ultimate Fighters, and that's America, and Canada is just a bag hanging in the garage. And down the stairs every morning comes an Ultimate Fighter.
And all right, so the United States is abusing the hell out of Canada from your standpoint, and I'm sorry to interrupt, but what has this got to do with the riots?
Well, I have to tell you something, Phil. I think it's rude of you not to listen to what I've got to say.
I'm listening to you, but you are sounding the following theme.
I'm not sounding any theme. I'm telling you what's happening.
All right, and the theme is the following thing. Canada, among many things, has to endure the United States sitting here next door, stealing resources, pounding them economically, pounding them culturally. We're a UFC fighter that comes downstairs to the garage and beats up on the sandbag that is Canada. I got to tell you something. If I was a Canadian, I'm listening to you right now, I wouldn't be feeling too good about my car. I wouldn't think you're being very complimentary.
I beg your pardon, but I am taking the part of the Canadian people. How dare you say that?
You know, well, it sounds to me like you're talking about Canada like it's just some country that hangs there while everybody that wants to come along and take a shot takes a shot.
I'm telling you that there is a lot of that in what happened last night, and as a result of these young people being unemployed, these young people not having any option, these young people not having anywhere to go, these young people not having anything to do, they are going to take it out on someone. And I will tell you this, and I say this with as much responsibility as I can muster, I endorse this action. I support this action.
You support violence and lawlessness.
That is a very typical... Oh, I love you, Phil. You know,
you support lawlessness and violence.
Hold on for a minute. I love you because you're so predictable. I mean, I think you're a good man, Phil. You are so predictable.
No, but that's you support lawlessness, violence, the destruction of private property. That's what happens. Somebody's car in the street, some guy, some woman going upstairs. They're still working. Who knows? You know, they're trying to get something done. They want to come downstairs, get in the car and go home. And they look down there. Their car's on fire.
Yeah, that's a very neat scenario you just painted there. That's a very neat scenario. And that comes from, I would say, Phil, a man, you've worked in television, so I think you're more... You know, I think you're more familiar with creating fictitious scenarios than you are with dealing with real life. I'm here to tell
you. I don't have to be. I saw what I saw.
I'm here to tell you. Now, if you listen to me, there comes a time when a young person is pushed too far, and you know.
Let me ask you this. Have you ever led a riot?
Have I ever what?
Have you ever led, if you say that this is something that you endorse, have you ever led?
I most certainly have. I have, yes, I have led what I have called a civil disturbance, a civil insurrection. Yes, I have. No one was hurt.
Was there damage to property?
Boy, you really care about damage to property, don't you?
Yeah, I do, as a matter of fact. Yeah, was there damage to property?
Yeah, Phil, it was up here at L.A. Canyon College. You know what happened. And it was following one of the football games. The students had been talking about this garbage that they were serving at the concession stand during the football games. They've been talking about it for 2 years. They didn't want to eat the ballpark. They didn't want to eat that Hebrew National. And this was a situation where the branding and the concession branding.
And Hebrew National. Now I'm remembering.
You're remembering what? You remember, yes, we objected to a product that was created by Zionists.
And you had a hot dog concession there that used what hot dogs?
They had ballpark franks. You know the story. They had ballpark, which was endorsed by Michael Jordan. And the next week, they come in with this Hebrew. And I said, all bets are off. And that's when, I think, 2 games in, they burned the whole concession stand to the ground. They burned that out. They burned out. They had a shaved ice stand. They had a cotton candy. The whole concession burned out, burned to the ground.
And those are people, understand, Emery, these are people that are, in many instances, private citizens. This is the only business they have.
What are you talking about? I'm talking about Hebrew National. That's a big company.
Yeah, but when you burned out that concession stand and burned out that... These are the small business people. They may be buying Hebrew National hot dogs to sell, or they may be using ballpark franks, but they're individual business people.
All the better, and I'm very glad you brought that up. All the better, as a responsible business person, to pay attention when the people... Boy, you don't get it. When the people...
Tell me what I don't get.
When the people are standing up and saying, we won't take it any longer, there's only one thing they can do, and that is react in a violent manner, not to take life, but to certainly take away from the capitalist the means by which he serves up his slop, and that was the concession stand.
And so you guys burned out a concession stand at a football game because of the ballpark franks going away and Hebrew National coming in.
A Zionist organization, yes.
A Zionist organization, and that's why you think last night in Vancouver was all right. And I think that the attitude you are expressing on this show, you are excusing any and all activity because why? Because America or the Zionists, you know.
Does it sound familiar?
Yes, it does.
Well, there's a reason why it sounds familiar, because it don't go away. And excuse me for fracturing the English language, but when I get a little hot, I forget to use the English language. But it doesn't go away. But the more angry I get, you know, it don't... You see, I just did it again. So you got...
All right, let's take a break and let's calm down here.
I don't have to calm down. I'm fine. But you understand that Vancouver, those white boys and white girls up there last night, they got angry because their hockey was gone, and there's Canada sitting like a lump of you-know-what in the middle of a highway, and they're crawling all over it looking for a scrap, looking for a kernel of corn.
877-876-PHIL. Put the good professor on hold. 877-876-PHIL. Last night's disturbances in Vancouver, the result of a depressed Canadian economy. And according to the professor, you just can't avoid these things. And yes, in point of fact, he said they have every right to express themselves in a violent fashion when there is no other outlet. 877-876-PHIL. It's a very dangerous point of view. We'll be back to talk more with Professor Emery Clayton here on the world-famous Phil Henry Show.
We can't fight this fight alone. Give us a call. 877-876-PHIL. That's 877-876-7445.
Looking for a kernel of corn.
Call the Patriot Hotline, dial 877-876-PHIL. That's 877-876-7445.
World famous Phil Henry Show here. Welcome back here. Professor Emery Clayton is with us. He is a professor of urban studies at L.A. Canyon College. 3 years ago, there were student disturbances on campus following a couple of football games, and they were led by members of the faculty. You were one of them, Professor Clayton.
That is correct, yes.
And in the process, there were concession stands that had been operated by individuals that were torched and burned to the ground. And there was other areas of the football operation there at the college that was damaged. Now we have this incident in Vancouver, and you tie these things together.
I am tying. Let me tell you what I'm tying together. I'm trying to make this as clear as I can to your listeners, because one of the difficulties that I have as a professor of urban studies, I have a great many middle-class youngsters who come into my class and they'll say, Professor Clayton, this is wrong and that is wrong. And I'll say, where are you from? What is your background? Oh, Professor Clayton, I come from the Valley. Professor Clayton, my family, this and that. I said, you're not black. And I don't hold anything against a man or a woman who's black, but they have no idea.
Well, the kids in Toronto weren't black.
They were black. Yes, they were, and I'll tell you why they were black. They weren't black in skin tone. They were black in experience. Those were black people in Vancouver last night.
And what? Oh, hold on.
I want to finish, Phil. You keep interrupting me here. And
all right, but it's a very bizarre statement.
Well, it may be bizarre, but I would put it to you this way. Those young kids in Vancouver, Canada, last night that saw their hockey team get punched around and beat up the same way their country did. You understand that what happened to the Vancouver Canuck hockey team last night is exactly what happens to their country at the hands of the United States every single day. Every day they get their, excuse my language, Phil, they get their asses kicked up one side and down the next. Every day, Canada is getting punched, kicked, and then it falls to the pavement, and there's America standing there with a wife beater on and big, thick-toed boots, kicking it in the kidneys until blood appears.
And all right, I get your point. I mean, so in other words, let's burn everything down.
In other words, let's see what the pride of these young people has been hurt. The country's pride is hurt. And rather than say, how are we going to keep this from happening again? We need more cops. We need more mounted, royal mounted. They got a thing in Canada. I don't know if you... What do they call that? The royal...
Royal Mounted Canadian... Royal Canadian Mounted Police.
The what?
The Royal Canadian Mounted Police.
So they've got cops on horseback up there to keep the rioters down and keep Big Daddy America happy. Because you know America checking in every day with Canada. Every day they're checking in saying, you keeping them down? Are you keeping them...
No, they're not doing that at all. They're not doing that at all. I find that's an overly simplistic look at the situation. 877-876-PHIL is our number. Here is Dave in Phoenix. Go ahead, Dave. You're on the Phil Henry Show.
Yeah, Phil, this guy that you got online, you are totally out of your mind. I mean, you're trying to tell us that these people in Canada were rioting because America is suppressing Canada? That's not the case.
I'm telling you that the Canadian economy is hurting, and the young people up there have no jobs.
I've heard you talk your rhetoric. Now, what the truth is...
Tell you what, Dave, hang on, Dave. Hang on. We're going to go to a break, and you hang on. We'll be right back, okay? We've got Dave, and we got Professor Emery, and we got the world-famous Phil Henry Show, and a number, and I just hung up on him. Oh, whatever. 877-876-PHIL.
You hung up on that man. Nice move.
Phil. I didn't know.
What an idiot.
Hotline now, 877-876-PHIL. That's 877-876-7445.
I understand it. We're going to get back to our caller in Phoenix, and I apologize to Dave that we had to preempt him. This is the world-famous Phil Henry Show. Our number is 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-7445. Professor Emery Clayton from L.A. Canyon College with us on last night's riots or disturbances in Vancouver. Now, there were no deaths, thank God. I don't know how many people were injured. I don't think they were serious. I was monitoring it on Twitter, and I was also following CTV in Canada. There was property damage, and it seemed to be a pretty angry bunch of people.
Yes, it's an angry bunch of people, Phil. Please understand, before you indict me, please understand what you're dealing with socially in Canada. These are young people without any work. They live in a country that is far to the north. There is a very depressing atmosphere sometime when it's cold. It's a big country, and if you can imagine a huge country like Canada not even be able to provide for its own people. And so in the wintertime, you got young kids. The only thing they've got is hockey. And when the hockey team disappoints them, they say all bets are off. Katie, bar the door, and let's go to town. Now, there was a song once by the Stray Cats. I don't know if you ever heard this song called Rip It Up. Did you ever hear this song, Phil?
Yeah. It's a old rockabilly song.
Exactly. And that song has always been, for me, the young whites' expression of dissatisfaction, because what it's basically saying is, if I don't get a piece of what's happening around here, because I see a whole lot of good living going on, and I ain't getting a piece of that, well, brother, I'm going to rip this place to shreds tonight. And excuse me again for saying it like that.
So in other words, what we have here are groups of young people so pushed to the edge that they're rioting. And so we have no difference between that.
We ought to be familiar with that in America.
Yeah, but what we're not familiar with in America is you saying that's a good thing and you would lead the pack. Now let me get back here. This gentleman needs to be heard. Dave. Sorry about that, yeah. Dave. I hung up on you by mistake. Go ahead, sir.
Hey, that's okay. Hey, Professor, you sound like to me like you're a radical and you're trying to incite riots between America and the United States. And let me tell you something. There is no way that those students there, kids, rioted because they were suppressed out of work. They rioted because their team lost and they lost control over them team losing the cup to America. It has nothing to do with suppression and unemployment. I mean, how many people do we got unemployed? How many people do we got unemployed here in America? 30 million or something
right.
like that?
That's right. And how many disturbances do we have? How many disturbances do we have? How many riots do we have? We have the same thing.
You tell me.
We get the same thing.
We haven't had riots.
We have the same thing.
Well, we haven't had a lot of urban problems like we've had.
Wait a minute. What do you call that, O.J. Simpson?
Wait a minute. We don't have
what about O.J. Simpson?
O.J. Simpson?
We don't have
when they beat O.J. When they tased O.J. Simpson.
They didn't tase O.J. Simpson. That was Rodney King.
The hell it was.
Yeah.
No, they didn't.
See,
no,
mean,
they
come
did
on,
not.
Professor. I mean, where did you get your doctorate at? I mean, you
excuse me, sir.
I'm surprised you're
you know, you can disagree with me, sir, but you don't have any right to question my academic credential.
Oh,
you may
sure
disagree with me.
Sure
but what are you bringing to the table? What are you bringing to the table? What are you bringing to the table?
I'm bringing a lot to the table. I'm bringing peacefulness and
I'm listening to you talking like I'm listening to you talking like you just come out. Where you in? Is this man in Arizona?
I'm
yeah.
Listening to you. You
sound like you just come out of one of them mines up in the hills.
I'm listening.
I don't know whether you've been.
Oh, I'm listening to you trying to incite riots and then sit there and say that it's okay that you go ahead and burn...
No, sir. I said I used one specific instance. I said one specific instance.
That's what it sounds like? Right.
No, I'm saying...
You've lost it.
That when you got these young whites... Let me ask you something. If you were hanging in a garage and every morning I came downstairs and started doing roundhouse kicks on your head, wouldn't you get pissed off? Of course you would.
Let me ask you something. Where does that come off with the, how do you compare that with the riot, with the riots that happened in Canada over losing the cup? What's that?
Because the United States of America and the economic depression worldwide, the United States of America treats Canada like it's nothing more than a hanging sandbag.
Oh,
come on.
You are crazy.
No, that's an asinine. Canada, if nothing else, is probably better off than the United States.
Are you out of your minds?
Right.
Are you out? Have you ever been up there? Have you ever seen those people? They're living half their lives out in
those people
in Canada.
I can't.
Have you been there, sir? Have you been there, sir? Have you been there? If you go to Canada and you see how they live, and they're out in the open,
what does that have to do with America? That has to do with their own government.
See, I'm going to jump in here, Dave. I think what's going on here. Hold on. Let me just say something here, Dave, because I agree with Dave. You have not made the case that the United States is somehow the U.S.'s economic stranglehold on North American, let's say North American commerce, has pushed Canada into a situation of such economic depression that the young people are rioting.
Did you not see a riot last night, or was I just imagining things? I got two of you guys telling me that I'm imagining things.
We saw the riot, but it wasn't because America's suppressing Canada. It was because they lost up and the kids went crazy.
Wait
That's
a minute. How many times
about.
They lose a how many times they lose a damn whatever you call it, what do you call it?
Stanley
and every
Cup?
Time,
Stanley
and every Cup. Time, and every time they did lose the cup they rioted. Is that
what
America?
About the other country? What about the
Is
other in America they don't riot? You think they're gonna riot in Boston? Well, maybe Boston, because they've got a lot of racism.
Oh, boy.
Unemployed. It has to do with the government and the way they manage their country. I mean, they've got the right to go out and free trade bring in companies to work and
manufacture. No, my good man.
Sure
you got
that.
It all wrong. You got
oh,
America
no,
checking
don't
in with Canada.
You,
every day, America
you
check in with Canada. That no, every day they got the hotline. You know they got a hotline. The president has a hotline to all, what do you call those leaders in the world. He calls up that Canadian and says, now, are we doing business today? Are you going to try to stick it to me? Because you know that Canada is second at the trough behind America. You know that.
Well,
and, yeah, but we're not. You're talking.
Every country in the United States.
They got to suck the slop.
America.
They got to suck our slop? I don't think so.
Well, you know something? I've heard an awful lot of real... You said the word rhetoric. I've heard a lot of insightful and inflammatory rhetoric, and you have not brought up anything. And the fact that you led a disturbance at your own school where they burned down concession stands...
They wanted us to serve that Zion dog.
You created a riot over hot dogs? I mean, come on. Who cares?
Are you kidding? Let me ask you a question. So you believe in feeding
hot dogs they eat, you know, and then you go out and incite a riot over a hot dog and demolish somebody's living that's feeding their families and stuff over a hot dog?
Dave's
hit it right on the head. And those are people, they may be buying those dogs, but they're not there. The people that you burned out are buying Hebrew National because... That's the dog that they wanted to buy, okay?
They should have stuck with Ballpark, because that's Michael Jordan's hot dog. But instead they went to Jew Dog.
This is America. You know, they've got the right to choose any
They
hot
have the right to do anything they want, yeah.
Yeah, and in the meantime, they're going to... So they got...
Those kids don't have to buy... Those kids don't have to buy the hot dogs that you were talking about.
I'm personally offended. I'm offended by having to eat the Zion dog.
All right.
And you incite a riot like that to burn down
Dave.
Living.
You've got to believe they had Ballpark for 15 years. We had Ballpark. Suddenly they go to Jew Dog. You tell me why.
You know, I don't like the term Jew Dog. I think that's offensive.
I'll tell you why. Because they suddenly got a sweeter deal. They had to spend less on the supply. They passed along a price increase to the students. So now the students are forced to eat Zion dog for another 30 cents, 50 cents, whatever it was. And these are students now living on God knows what.
Price for inflation.
And I said,
maybe they need.
And I said to them, I said, you know what? Light it up.
Inflation brought it up.
I gave the nod. I said to light it up.
And everything else went up.
Yeah, exactly.
All right, Dave. I can't even believe. You know, I'm sorry.
Dave, thank you.
You know, I can't believe that you're a professor.
I'm going
to
take a.
I can't believe you're a voting American citizen, sir. So you say to me that, I say that back to you then.
All right, Dave, I got to go to another call. I appreciate your call. 877-876-PHIL. Let's go on to Karen in Chattanooga. Karen, go ahead. You're on the Phil Hendry Show.
Phil, this professor is a nutty professor. You know, I'm sitting here listening to him ranting.
That's very cute, ma'am. That's very cute, ma'am.
You are.
I said that is very.
You really are. Number one, you incite riots over hot dogs. If the student, if the students didn't want to eat them, they didn't have to eat them. And it was that business's right to choose what they wanted to sell. Students didn't have to do it. And you incited a riot in America. I mean, you should be in prison for inciting
a riot. No, ma'am. Let me say, I was a member of the faculty. The faculty was chosen. The students said, if you lead, we will follow. They said, if you lead, I looked at a couple of my other professors.
That don't make a riot.
I gave them the heads up. I gave him a thumbs up. And the reason is simply this, if I may, ma'am, the reason is simply this. Our students come to school, they want to study, we want them to have the very finest in education, we want them to leave with an education and a degree. But in the meantime, you can't feed them something you'd feed to a pig. You got to feed them decent food. And
ballpark franks or something you...
No, a hot dog is a hot dog. It's a comfort food. It's something that you enjoy... When you go out, it's nothing major.
It's something that this their
you
dinner.
You bring your own in, but
that was their dinner. For some of these students, that's their dinner.
You should not be teaching. I'm glad my child is not
attending
your college because you.
Ma'am, I've got to tell you, I have to say to Mr. Hendry, I can't believe it. So, in other words, when I say to my students.
You are wrong.
We don't have to eat. We don't have to eat the dog. The dog that the Zionist feeds us. You think I ought to be fired? That's unbelievable.
You should be fired for starting a riot and burning
exactly.
down someone's business.
That's exactly
that's
right.
You can have
any protest you want.
I can have any protest, ma'am. All I said to them was, I took a bite. What happened was this. I went up, I ordered, I said, give me one, everything on it. They said, lots of mustard. I said, now you're talking. All right, now I get the hot dog. I took one bite, I chewed it three times, as I remember, one, two, three. I turned to the students and I said, light it up. Now,
oh, that's great.
You were wrong.
How am I wrong?
You said, well, I'm not going to do business with them no more. I don't like their business.
Eggs.
And go
there
on.
You go. That's what
you
we do. That's what we do in America.
And
that's what we do in America.
No right to do entice Canada students. I didn't see what happened, but listening to you people,
the Canadian
to
people are fed up
from people
the
taking
young,
other people's property.
All these young Canada people, they're all fed up. The young Canada, the young, what do you call them? The young
Canadians.
Canadians. They are sick to death of America beating them up.
You don't even know what
I do. I said I didn't know what you call them. What do you call them? What do you call them?
Students.
No. The ones in Canada. What do you call the Canada people?
Canadians.
That's what I misspoke on. Right. I misspoke.
Let me go back.
You have Canada people.
When my kids were in high school, and we had rivals in basketball, bad rivals, they did not condone, and students did not go and tear up and destroy other people's property because they lost a state tournament. To lose a cup,
that's because things were better with you. I'm sure you had a very comfortable neighborhood and a very comfortable life.
Please,
if you'll forgive me for saying, I'm sure you, the white people in your neighborhood, I'm sure they did
too.
It doesn't. The kids that rioted in Vancouver last night were white.
Yeah, they were white, but like I said, the kids in Vancouver
over a stupid hockey game. It's a hockey game.
A stupid hockey game.
It's
ma'am,
a game. It's
the
a
white.
Game. It's
that's the first time I've seen white people as black.
It has nothing to do with
all right.
life, sir.
Exactly. All right, Karen, thank you very much. We have to take a break. Our number 877-876-PHIL.
I wanted to finish up with that lady. She there?
No, we just have got to move on.
you know, you want to stack the deck against old Emory Clayton tonight, don't you? Stack the deck.
Stack the deck, nothing. I've heard your entire story. You said that that riot that took place at L.A. Canyon College, and it wasn't, was it a riot?
No, it wasn't. It was a disturbance, all right. No people got hurt. We burned them out. We ran them off and burned them out.
And all right, so you walk up to that hot dog stand.
Yeah. They told me that that game, it was a football game on a Friday night, and they said that this was the first night that they would be serving, a Hebrew national.
Okay. And right away, you've got some prejudice.
What is that supposed to mean?
Well, they're not ballpark Frank now. It's Hebrew national, huh? Jew dog?
Anyway, I walked up. I said, give me one, everything on it, lots of onions. And they loaded it up for me, and I said, thanks a lot. I tipped the kid, and I got a small Coke. I turned around. I took one bite. I threw it into the garbage, wiped my hands, and I said, put my thumb up, and I said, light it up. And I actually lit a big lighter. That was the signal. Okay.
Oh, you, buddy. All right, hold on. 877-876-PHIL. Can you believe the brazen gall? The brazen gall took one bite, and he had the guy load the dog up with onions, relish. God, I'm getting hungry.
Gavin, not a Jew dog.
Don't you ever say Jew dog. 877-876-PHIL. We'll be right back. The world-famous Phil Henry Show.
We can't fight this fight alone. Give us a call. 877-876-PHIL. That's 877-876-7445. Hotline now, 877-876-PHIL. That's 877-876-7445.
Coming up next hour, we've got Ted Bell from Ted's of Beverly Hills. Speaking of hot dogs, we're going to be talking about an incident that took place at his restaurant around, forgive me, I don't mean to engage in these juvenile double entendres, but literally around the Anthony Weiner story. On the line with me is Professor Emory Clayton, as we conclude here. He's a professor of urban studies at L.A. Canyon College, where you have been very open, Professor, in saying that you, along with other faculty members, led a disturbance, an insurrection, or whatever, an action, as you called it.
That is exactly what it was. It was an action that was promulgated by the students themselves against the instinct and the undemocratic action of a hot dog man, or however you want to put it. You're going to make me, and you know, you want jokes. You know I'm black, and you know that black people have struggled, black males have struggled with a feeling of a fairness, I guess you would say, toward gay people. You know this, don't you?
I understand there's been some conflict there, yeah.
All right. Knowing what you know, and then you ask me to put a foot-long Jew dog in my mouth, the symbolism of that, for me...
Oh, grow up.
I beg your pardon, sir.
Grow the hell up. What are you talking at? You know, I don't like that term Jew dog either.
You may not like it, but you're the guy that's... You're the one that's slipping it into my mouth. You're the one that said to me, hey, Emory, congratulations on your doctorate, congratulations on your education, congratulations on everything that you are, but you're still going to take this Zion dog. I'm going to slip about a foot of it into your mouth.
You know what the problem is here?
Now tell me, doctor. What's the problem?
The problem here is that you have decided this is a personal fight of some kind. This is a...
No, sir, it is not.
No, it absolutely is. I know a personal... I know when somebody's taking something real personal when I hear it. And this is some kind of a personal fight that you have with the power structure in America that you see is infiltrated and influenced by the Zionist or the Jewish influence. I mean, this is stuff that is so old hat. It's so 19th century.
19th century?
Very 19th century thinking. Very, anybody that has the, anyone that says the whole Jewish conspiracy thing these days, they're living in 1893.
Well, then I guess I'm living in 1893, okay?
And well, one thing they didn't have in 1893 was Hebrew national.
Bill, I've got nothing against... You know, you want to turn me into a Jew hater, and that you are not going to be successful. I have nothing against I have nothing against a Hebrew. I don't have anything against a Hebrew making a hot dog, all right?
Yeah?
Well, what do you mean, yeah? Are you listening to me? I'm trying to make it up to you now and all your listeners. I don't want to be called an anti-Semite. I don't want to be called an anti-Zionist. I love the Jewish people with all of my heart. I don't want to be seen as someone that does not like Jewish people. But you force me into gritting my teeth and having to ride it when you say to me, guess what, next week, brand new concession, foot-long Jew dog. Slip your lips on that. Do you understand what that does to me and all my students?
Oh, God. You know...
And now you're laughing. Now, you know what, I don't give a... I'm staying late for this bullcrap, white man.
Get up.
No kidding, he hung up. Boy, bud, you state the obvious. We'll be back. Ted Bell next hour. I apologize. We'll get Professor Clayton back on maybe in the third hour. I don't know. 877-876-PHIL. Ted Bell coming up here on the world-famous Phil Henry Show and philhenryshow.com.
Phil Henry.
I didn't get out of the third grade for this.